done fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder, mayhem, tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Hall, and their dog Ninja.
Sometimes their cat, Freddy, but never the ferrets.
Hey, Hillbillies, it's Jerry. As most of you know, it has not been a very good year for me health-wise. Tracy and I are trying to raise some quick capital for a personal project. Now, this project has nothing to do with the podcast, but it will make our lives much easier. We will be able to share many more details with you around Christmas time. Now, in order to make this happen, we have a great deal for you guys. For a one-time fee of just $100, we are giving you a Hillbilly Horror Stories t-shirt, a personalized Hillbilly Horror Stories book, a 15-minute video call from myself and Tracy, or a video call from Santa to your kids, because I've got a really good Santa suit. And last but not least, this is the biggie, lifetime Patreon membership at the highest level. So what exactly do you get for your membership? Well, you're going to immediately get over 1,670 bonus shorts. That's right, 1,670. You're also going to get over 140 full-length bonus episodes. You're going to get every Hillbilly Horror Stories episode that comes out ad-free. And then every month thereafter, you're going to get 24 short bonuses and 2 full-length bonuses per month, along with all the ad-free episodes. What would you normally pay for that? The Patreon alone, at that level, costs $180 per year. You're going to get it for a one-time fee of just $100, plus you're going to get the shirt, plus the book, plus the video call, and we're also going to include free shipping. If you want to take advantage of this offer, and trust me, it will make a great Christmas gift for a listener, just go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com to take advantage of the deal. It's only going to be available until December 31st. We did something similar to this 4 years ago, and the people who bought the lifetime membership have already gotten almost $800 worth of Patreon episodes for the $50 that they paid back then. We love you guys, and we can't wait to share this information with you. Hey guys, welcome to episode 325 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, as usual, we want to start off thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks to all you men, women, and service animals for everything that you do for us on a daily basis.
Amen, guys. We always have you in our thoughts and prayers every day. And I hope some of you guys got to go home for Christmas. We just want to know that, you know, we can't thank you guys enough for all that you do and all that you sacrifice being away from your families. We love you all so much, and we hope that you have the best new year ever.
Yes, we could all use a good new year.
Amen, brother. And Tracy, sister.
Tracy, I can't speak for you, but I know I've gotten 3 or 4 different messages in the past week of people that are just struggling.
Yes.
Need somebody to talk to. And I'm glad that we can be an outlet for them. I'm glad the group can be an outlet for them. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they feel comfortable enough to be able to come to us, because that's half the battle, is feeling comfortable enough to approach somebody and tell them what you're going through mentally at a time where you might be struggling for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure. You know, like if we go out, we always like take one of our cards and let people know about the podcast. But honestly, the first thing that comes out of our mouth when people ask us is about our group. And about, you know, we tell them that's the most thing we're the most proud of. And they, you know, they're always like, oh man, that's awesome. It's good that you guys have an outlet for people. And, but I mean, that's the most blessed thing about this whole thing to me, is that we have people that are so loving and caring to listen, to give advice or whatever it is to anybody, anytime, day or night. And we cannot thank you guys enough for doing that, because it's just, it makes a difference. It really does.
We also have that on the back of all of our business cards. It's got the 988 number.
Yes.
And it's got, and before it had the 1-800 number. But we've always included that, and always something about reaching out for help if you need it. So
we've actually had a person, let's see, where was, oh, you know what? It was at a I can't remember which restaurant it was, but one of the people that got the card actually called and was talking to me about some things that were going on. I don't even think I even told you that. But it just shows you what, just like one little card or talking to somebody about what the group's about or whatever. And they actually called me and talked to me a little bit about, you know, just everyday life things that was really getting them down. We had a really nice conversation, and she seemed happy after the fact. So, you know, that's really good. So I'm telling you guys, just anytime you're out, just say hi to somebody. Tell them they look really pretty. I don't care what it is. It just really turns their whole day around.
You can always find something to compliment someone on.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Always.
I mean, how many times have I opened the door and held the door for somebody and said, hey, beautiful? I do it all the time. And it's just like, oh, well, thank you. You know, it's just like, I mean, why are you saying that to me? But because, you know, it makes you have a smile on your face, and it feels good saying it. So,
and yet every time I say, hello, beautiful, I get dirty looks from you.
So. That is not true. But again, guys, you know, like I said, we go on and on about this group just because we're just so blessed and so proud of you all. But if anybody would rather call the crisis hotline, you can still do that at 988. You can still text at 741-741, or you could send me and Jerry a message, and we will give you our phone numbers, and you can call and talk to us if you'd like. We'd love to do it.
All right, Tracy, we don't have a special guest this week.
Okay.
So it's just going to be the main show. I want to touch on a couple of things really, really quick. While it's at the beginning, before people might miss it if they fast forward or something like that. This is a time right now of the year to where we're going to be going back and forth to Florida.
Yes.
Driving 12 hours, 14 hours up, 14 hours back, depending on the traffic situation. That's going to put me out of pocket a lot more than I usually am. I'm going to try to put new episodes out of everything all week, every week, until we get finished and moved. But there is a possibility that like there might be a dead time stories or something like that during the week that might be replaced with like a best of.
Yeah. God bless him. He literally drove to Florida and took down a bunch of stuff by himself. And what time you left it? What? 5:30 in the morning?
I left at 4:30 Thursday morning. I got there at 7:00. Then I had to make a Walmart run. I had to unload everything that I had. I went to bed at 10:30. I got up at 6:00 and came straight back home.
Yep.
And got home at 7:30 or 8:00 that night. Then I came straight to the computer after I ate something and started sending out for people who had sent in for the Lifetime Patreon.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Sending out their emails and stuff like that so they could get that going. Mm-hmm. And by the way, on the Lifetime Patreon, thanks to everybody that's contributed. We've had a lot of people say, look, I really want to take advantage of it. Couldn't right now because of Christmas.
Because Christmas, of course.
Obviously, we've extended that for one more week to give people a chance to be able to jump in there. So if you haven't had a chance to do it and you want to still do it, you got one more week to go ahead and do it.
We can't thank you guys enough.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. It really makes me cry like a happy tears just because you guys are so wonderful to us. And, you know, you guys are a blessing in our lives. So we can't thank you guys enough for your support.
Yep. So I'm not going to always be here because, like I said, it's probably going to be 2 or 3 days a week I'll be in Florida driving, and that won't give me the opportunity to do some of these interviews and stuff that I normally would.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to get interviews and stuff. But for the most part, I think I can get
new
episode of everything out.
Oh,
every
I know
week,
you
but
will.
But I might miss something here or there. But
yeah.
It won't be the Sunday episode. It'll always,
oh, no.
That'll always be there. But I did want to say there will be some time. And if you're, I'm still waiting on books to come in.
They spoke, what time
they
say?
They're supposed to be here in the next couple of days.
Okay.
And then I made another order of books because I think the first order I got, it's not going to cover mm-hmm. everything that we need. But I promise you, you're at least can take advantage of the Lifetime Patreon because I got everybody their code for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't, and if you did get the Lifetime Patreon and you haven't gotten an email from me, please write me.
Yes.
Because it could have been an oversight or something on my part or whatever, but please write me. But the shirts and books will be going out as soon as I get these books.
Yes, absolutely. You guys have been most gracious.
All right.
Woohoo!
All right, Tracy.
Lily looked at me like, what?
I spent a lot of time this week on the road, as we just discussed, going to our new place in Florida. But it did give me a lot of time to research some cool stories from the state of Florida to use in an episode. So these won't be your normal, St. Augustine Lighthouse. This is going to be more personal encounters from people that happened
in
Florida. So my guess is you won't have heard any of these. You won't. I don't know if that's correct. I don't know.
Oh.
Will not have heard.
But hopefully when we get down to Florida, there'll be a lot more places we can dive into and maybe some new places we've never heard of. So we'll be excited about that so we can get the stories to you all.
Yep. So as some of you know, I've talked about this, but it's been a long time. When I used to drive back and forth to Cincinnati for work, which was 2 hours up and back each
way. Man, that seems like 100 years ago.
I know it. But I would listen to a lot of YouTube videos on the way up, and that would be some of the research. So if I'd pick a topic, or I would use that to find a topic. And that's what I was doing here. So there might be a top 10 list of, like, for example, if I'm doing Florida, I might do most haunted places in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then there might be 10 videos that come up, and it might be the top 5 places from this place and the top 8 places in St. Augustine or whatever. But I'll get all these things together and I'll listen to everything and anything. And if I find something that pops up that I didn't know about or I thought would be interesting, that's how I end up picking topics. And then I start researching that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you'd be surprised how often or how many things I listen to just to come up with a topic.
No, I know you do.
So I listened to all these ones the other day on Florida. And I came up with there was a few things that I hadn't covered yet. So I thought, okay, let me start looking into those. And then sooner or later, I get down a rabbit hole and find something else, which is sometimes what happens.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why it's more fun. You're like, hey, wait a minute, but there's more.
Well, I'll compile a list of places. And then once I start digging into it, some of them don't have a whole lot to them. And then that's the ones I use for like a short or Hillbilly Dead Time Stories or something like that. And then the ones that have a lot longer, more things on the subject, those are the ones that make it into the complete episodes by themselves. Well, today I've got a mixture of smaller stories that are all from the state of Florida, one of which was told to me at a gas station in Jacksonville.
No kidding.
And I didn't even tell you this.
No, you didn't.
No, it's because I was too busy trying not to fall asleep. But when I stopped at Jacksonville, we've got, I had the SUV and it's got the magnet on there with Hillbilly Horror Stories. And the woman's like, you know, hey, what is that? And that's what we get more than anything. People are like, what is that? What is that? What does that mean?
Right, right.
And I was telling her, oh, you know, what we do and what the podcast was about. And she says, well, I've got a story. And then I told her I wouldn't be able to remember all of it. So she emailed it to me. And
oh, cool.
So I was able to put it into a story form. So this is from Jackie in Jacksonville.
Thank you, Jackie.
Jackie grew up in Jacksonville. She's about a mile from a wildlife reserve and a national park. Now, this area was a historic, I'm going to say monument. She said monument. I don't know if monument's the right way. But it's a historic area of sorts with Spanish forts and old naval bases. It's got a reputation for being a battle spot. Not only just like because of the naval bases, but because all the way back when settlers first started coming to that area. Several Native Americans and Spanish settlers died essentially in her backyard.
Oh, gosh.
And when Jackie was between 6 and 8 years old, she started to have these night terrors. Now, some of these would have more of a sleep paralysis element to them. In these cases, Jackie would see a human-like shadow in her room. She said that this only happened twice that she could remember, where the shadow figure actually showed up. Now, during these two occasions, she remembers seeing it emerge from the corner of her room. The first time, this shadow person just stayed in one place. She said it didn't have any discernible features. She just more or less could make the outline of a body, but she could see that it had hands and hands and feet and legs. But she couldn't make out like facial features or anything like that. She could make out that the outline of it was darker than what the color filled in was.
Really?
Kind of like if you did a tattoo and you colored it all like black, but the outline of it was even more black. Than
yeah,
inside.
That's how I color in the coloring book.
Is it?
Yeah, I always outline the darker with the black and darker and stuff. It makes it stand out and makes the color pop.
Nice. But the second time Jackie had this, saw this shadow figure, she immediately had an elevated heartbeat. She started panicking out of fear. Keep in mind, she's 6, 7 years old.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure, poor thing.
She's lying on her left side. She saw the shadow person walking towards her. It then got into bed with her.
Oh!
And it held her with its hand on her chest. She was kind of pinned and couldn't move.
While she was still on her side?
Yes.
Oh, man.
She was now into a total panic attack. Jackie said she could hear her own blood pumping in her ears.
Dude.
She eventually passed out and just either fell asleep or passed out. Either one. She said she really didn't remember. She just knows she remembers waking back up.
Mm-hmm.
Even with all this, Jackie didn't tell her mother anything about the incidents. Though she said now, as an adult, she mentions this all the time to her mother. Her mother still thinks that these were vivid nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie says that, looking back, the household situation was really stressful for a child. Lots of fighting between her parents. Her dad was an alcoholic at the time,
mm-hmm.
and that's where most of the fighting stemmed from. She said she was never physically abused, but all the mental anguish took its tolls. Her parents finally divorced when she was 13 years old. She now thinks that the sleep paralysis was more a product of the stress than maybe a paranormal situation. But when Jackie talked about this to her father, he told Jackie that he once saw a squatting human figure up in the rafters around the same time that she saw her shadow figure.
What? Now that's pretty wild. I'm surprised that, well, I don't know, it being 6 years old or whatever, you wouldn't be so terrified that you wouldn't tell. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't tell your parents. Like, oh my gosh, mom, there's, you know, I guess maybe she thought they wouldn't believe it at, you know, being that age or whatever. And then I don't know how she lived with that for those years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, you know, she thought about it a lot, I'm sure. I would have.
And she was, I guess, probably mid-30s.
When she finally told him?
No, when I saw her.
Oh, okay.
So this is something that happened 27, 28 years ago.
Dang, man.
All right, Tracy, I ran across this story while I was researching a different story. It's an incident that happened in Pensacola, and I wanted to include it in with this group of stories. So Naomi and her boyfriend, Shane, they were out camping at the Fort Pickens campground in Pensacola. They had their dog with them, a husky. It was about 10 p.m., beautiful full moon night. They decided to walk down to the beach because it was a short walk. They get to the beach, and they sat there for about an hour, just kind of looking at the water and talking about life in general.
Yeah, I bet that was so beautiful if it was a full moon. Oh,
I guarantee.
Oh, gosh.
By the end of the conversation, they were kind of starting to talk about how the ocean can kind of play tricks on you and how strange the energy can be around, especially when there's a full moon. They then started swapping stories about seeing people that they thought might not really be people in their past. So now, when you talk about such topics, you might be setting yourself up for, you know, a little mental trickery, we'll say. You know, it's kind of like when you go watch a scary movie and then you go to bed, you might dream about that scary movie or have, you know, you kind of just, you're setting those seeds, I guess you could say. Anyways, they decide, you know what, we're going to go ahead and walk back to the campground. Her and her boyfriend, on the way back, saw something that they swear had to be real because they both saw it.
At the same time.
At the same time. What exactly did they see? Well, they started walking back to the campsite, as I said. It was maybe about a quarter mile from the beach. Not very far, unless you're Tracy, to which that would seem like you walked a marathon.
I have short legs. What do you want me to do?
I'll never forget when we get lost in New Orleans that time. And I looked on my phone and it said we were like a mile and a half away. And I just kept telling you it was a couple blocks. Because I knew if I would have said it was a mile and a half.
Oh, yeah. I would have been like, nope.
It was so hot, too.
Oh, it was.
Oh, man, it was August. Ooh. Anyway, so they're walking down this boardwalk to the main road. Now, once you get to the main road, you see the entrance to the campsite. There's a small parking lot. There's a stop sign, some picnic tables, and a building that they said looks like it was abandoned. This particular building was just one story, but it didn't have any kind of signage out front or anything to even say what it was ever. The doors and the windows were all boarded up, so there was no accessibility to them whatsoever. So you couldn't look into the window even if you wanted to. When Naomi's sitting on one of the picnic tables, and Shane's telling her this creepy story about something he saw at the ocean when he was like, you know, 11 years old. They were there for about 10 minutes listening to the story. So Naomi's actually trying to debunk the story that Shane had just told her. That's when a girl comes walking out of the campsite, the campgrounds.
Like a real girl?
Yes. She's walking right towards them. She stops at that building, though. And neither of them thought much about it. You know, so
yeah,
what?
Just somebody walking.
I mean,
yeah,
they'd already seen several other people out walking. They were out walking. So no big deal. But she noticed that the girl walks up and she starts trying to peer through the window and open the doors on the right side of the building. And we already said they're all boarded up, so you can't do it. The girl couldn't get in, so she decided to walk all the way across the length of the building to the right side, right in front of Naomi and Shane. The girl didn't look up at them. She didn't acknowledge them in any way, shape, or form, which kind of threw Naomi off because she said that they were both talking and they were kind of loud for it to be quiet in the woods. You would have thought the girl would have at least made some kind of, you know, motion that they were there or looked up or something, but she's like, she was not even aware that they were even standing there.
So they didn't really say anything to her.
No, they didn't say anything to her, and she made no notion that she even recognized that they were there. Here's where it starts to get a little bit weird. Naomi said she started to feel uncomfortable, mainly because the way that the girl was walking, Naomi could only see her from the side or from the back profile. And she could see a long ponytail, brown ponytail. Mm-hmm. She knows it sounds strange, but she said, how can somebody walk right in front of me, right and left, and you can't see the side of her face?
Well, that is weird.
All she could see was her hair. And it's not like she had her head down either, because it wasn't down. It was facing up. She said it didn't make sense to her, so instead she just keeps watching, and this woman rounds the corner of the left side of the building, and she doesn't come back. Naomi's really curious about what's going on, so she really starts to focus on that area that the woman went to. She's just staring it down. She can't take her eyes off of it. Naomi knows that it sounds crazy, but it didn't feel like she walked back behind the building. It seemed like she was right there just waiting for them to do something or say something. So she feels like that maybe this lady's scoping them out, but she's back where they can't see her.
Well, I'm surprised I didn't kind of go up and try to find her.
We're getting to it. There's a little ledge on the side of the building. She said maybe 3 or 4 inches, not very big. Almost like a gutter that was hanging off. She says, as ludicrous as it sounds, it was as if she turned sideways and was hiding behind that 4-inch ledge back there.
Man, she must have been skinny.
Shane had a little spotlight on him. It was a flashlight that was more like a spotlight that he used to use when he went hunting. So he would shine the light back there on that little ledge area. They kept seeing something that was low to the ground on this ledge. Seemed like it was moving. It made them feel like that she was standing there doing something. Couldn't figure it out. So Shane shines his light back there again, directly at the spot, and he yells, "Hey, are you good? In case there's something going wrong, you know." He then keeps the light shining there on her, kind of pinned to that spot. And after about 5 seconds, they saw the girl spring out of the shadows. She moved forward, facing right, wherever they were. She had her back hunched over this time, so she wasn't quite as tall as she was when she was trying to get into the building. Naomi said that she can't even describe how scary it was watching this take place. She said to have this lady just pop out after the flashlight was on her was creepy as hell. And she said the movement that she made was incredibly unnatural. It was as if no human would respond with the body language that this girl did. It was like she couldn't figure out what to do and she didn't know whether to show herself, only because they made her with the flashlight was the only reason she popped out. So it's almost as if she was scared of getting in trouble for doing something that she wasn't supposed to do rather than being seen. So she pops out. They said her hands were sprawled out almost like a praying mantis.
Ooh.
Now, something that Naomi and Shane didn't figure out until they were talking about this much later, neither one of them saw a face on the woman.
Maybe it was a frog.
It was just...
I mean, a frog is kind of hunched over, and then his he could have his like little things spread out.
They're not 5 feet tall, like a person would be.
Oh.
They didn't say she was 5 foot tall, but they said she was a woman, and she was trying to open the door.
Yeah, well, that's true. Maybe she's a...
And she was peering through the windows. They said that...
A shifter.
They said that her face was just smooth skin with no eyes or a mouth. That's all they could make out.
Oh, no wonder she couldn't say nothing to him. Or maybe that's why she didn't see him. There you go. Problem solved.
All right, Tracy. I got one more.
Did I solve the problem?
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Remember I said that I ran across that last story while I was researching a different story?
Mm-hmm.
Well... This is the story that I was actually researching. It's also my favorite of the stories that we're going to cover tonight. Christian was part of a military family. I don't know his exact age, but I want to say he was probably 13-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It was him, his brother, mother, and father. That's their family. The story goes back to 1983 to 1985. That's when his family had moved from Japan to the Florida Panhandle. Of course, they were, you know, military, so they were shipped back. Fort Walton Beach, to be exact, is where they were shipped off to. Christian absolutely loved it there. Even though the ocean only covered one part of the panhandle, there seemed to be water almost everywhere, from lakes to streams to rivers to you name it. They were everywhere, and he absolutely loved it.
Sounds nice.
It does sound nice. He said no matter where you went, you were 5 minutes from a beach. Okaloosa Island was a quick drive, and the entire length of this area was like Peter Pan's Pleasure Island. Nothing but water parks, surf shops. He said it was so much fun, so much things to do, really touristy, and it was perfect for a young boy.
Of course.
So Christian loved it. He said it was perfect, except for the house that they lived in. He said the house was enough to make him not want to be in the area at all.
Oh, that's a shame.
He said it was a small house, not like your typical haunted house that you would see in the movies. It was only one story. It was a two-bedroom house. It was had a really bright character to the house. Mm-hmm. So not what you think of when you think haunted house at all.
Yeah.
One of the bedrooms he shared with his younger brother. So the house was on a pretty major street. It was always busy. There was a stop sign, or a stoplight, I should say, just a block away from their house. So if you got a stoplight on your main road,
yeah,
you know it's at least a busy road.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There was one small detail that his parents had kept from the boys until after they got moved in.
Them daggone sneaky parents.
Across from the house, there was this enormous brick wall, about 20 feet high, had ivy growing all over it. It was beautiful. So they assumed it was somebody's private property because there was a lot of rich people that lived mm-hmm. there, and there was a lot of old money in town. So that was probably like where all the mansions and stuff like that were. Nope. This was the wall to a very old cemetery. And this thing went down several blocks, 5 or 6 blocks. But he said the wall pretty much did its job because you didn't know there was a cemetery back there. Mm-hmm. So they didn't focus on it. They were freaked out a little bit at first, him and his brother, but they soon forgot about it. Fast forward to one night later, the family was sitting watching Night Flight. Do you remember Night Flight?
Mm-mm.
It was music videos. It was back at around the time MTV came out and videos became popular, and you had Friday night videos would come on like one of the TV channels. Well, another one had Night Flight on. I don't know if it was Fox.
I don't think I remember.
But one of them had Night Flight on. It was a half hour, an hour of them just playing music videos.
Oh, okay.
Their way of trying to compete with MTV. Mm-hmm. Everything got hot. So they're sitting there. They're watching Night Flight. Christian's family, his mom and dad, were pretty young, especially to have two boys already, especially their age. But so they all kind of loved rock and pop, and so they all shared this love for the exact same music. So they're all sitting there watching Night Flight. The sofa sat right in front of the huge living room window. So I don't mean facing out. Like, I meant it's the back of the sofa is up against the window.
Okay, yeah.
So if they're sitting, the window's behind them.
Right.
Okay? So they're sitting there behind the window. And as I said, the window looked out onto the busy street. At this time of night, traffic was minimal. There was still traffic, but
yeah,
there wouldn't, you know, it's not like rush hour. Christian was watching the video, and he remembers specifically it was Owner of a Lonely Heart by mm-hmm. Yes. That's what was playing. Over the music, he heard something strange. It was coming from the street. So Christian looks over at his mom. And she just shook her head no, as if she knew what he was thinking. But Christian turned around on the couch anyway, pulled back the curtains. His mom did the exact same thing. He could see the stoplight up on the corner. The light was red. Now, there was a woman at the corner, and she looked panicked. A car had pulled up to her. And she started screaming and struggling while she was being pulled into the car. Christian's mom just squeezed his shoulder. He pulled his head back in from that window area to see why his dad wasn't running out there to save this woman. Because, you know, his dad's military and
right,
all that stuff.
Sure.
But his dad was sitting there watching TV with his little brother.
Did he not see it?
Both were completely unbothered about what was going on. Christian's brother was actually playing with a little toy, and his father was tapping his foot to the song. So Christian started to say something, but his mother squeezed his hand, and Christian looked at her and was like, but, and his mother said quietly, "There's nothing to see." Christian looked back out the window, and there was nothing. No car, no woman, nothing. It happened so fast that Christian was confused. I mean, where did this car go? I mean, he didn't hear a car peel out. It couldn't have left that quick. This was a matter of seconds from him looking back and going right back to the window. He didn't even notice when the screaming stopped. It had just stopped. He then realized that when he was watching the car and the girl, that there was no other cars driving by. There was no traffic at all. But now, it was back to being a fairly busy street with several cars on the road. He looked up at his mom, and she said under her breath, "I told you not to look." She gave him a look that basically said, "And don't tell your father that you saw anything." Christian said that was the start of many experiences at that house.
So mom had experienced them already.
I think the way I understood it is mom apparently had some abilities.
Oh, no kidding.
And apparently Christian had the same abilities.
So they were both
sensitive. She realized it, and that's why she told him not to look, because when he gave her that look at the beginning when he heard the noise, she probably is like, "He knows, just like I knew."
Oh, so she had no clue about he might be sensitive like that
at all. I don't
think
so. And apparently dad wasn't big on it.
Big on?
Him being sensitive. She's probably had that conversation with dad.
Oh, I'm sure.
He probably thought it was hogwash or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, that's true. I mean, but what can he do about it? He can't just turn it off, I guess, can he?
No, but if some people just don't believe that you've got that ability. That's just you making stuff up or whatever. So, and his dad may have been one of those type people.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool, though, that him and her both were on the same page there.
Yeah. So, I thought that was a really cool story.
Yeah. Eek.
Anyways.
That's scary.
Let's take a real quick sponsor break. We'll be back with some Patreons and stuff, and we'll get you guys out of here and let you celebrate your New Year.
New Year. You know, I just realized it's New Year's Eve, but we're doing this story.
Yeah.
Oh. Daggone.
All right, Tracy, quick reminder, you still have time to get on the Hillbilly Horror Stories Brohio Cruise.
Yes.
Go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com. That's where you'll find all the information. Give Robin a call, and he'll be able to fill you in and get you started on some payment arrangements if you want to do that. Or you can just pay for it all up front. It's up to you.
Yep.
Money bags. Daddy Fat Sacks.
Yeah, and that's funny. We are so excited and cannot wait for that. Golly. Yes.
It'd be fun.
Be good to see everybody.
Now we have to find a babysitter for Lily and the cat.
Oh, dude.
I'm trying to get Amber to come down and stay.
That would be such a cool idea.
I told her we'd fly her down. She could leave Jeremy back with the other animals.
Yeah.
And she could just take a vacation up there and spend the week at our house.
Oh, there you go.
So we'll see.
Problem solved.
All right. So what do we got going on over there?
Our iTunes this week, we have Ada Bunny. I love that name. And we have SK Morse. 007. Thank you guys for your kind reviews. You guys are so awesome. We appreciate you.
And
we'd like to thank everybody that has taken advantage of,
yes,
even though it says ache advantage.
That's I might have had a typo on
it. Uh-huh. But we would love to just thank you guys so much for being so supportive and giving. And we will get you all taken care of with everything that you want on there. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we love you guys. Remember, we did extend that by a week. So It'd be good through next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday?
Yeah,
okay.
Next Monday. Yeah. Whatever that, the 8th that'd be. Because Monday's the 1st, it'd be the 8th. Yeah. It'd be good through Monday the 8th, and then we'll take it down off there. You guys have been awesome, though.
Thank you. We do appreciate y'all so much. And we're going to pretend like it's 11:59. Doink, doink, doink. Ready?
What kind of clock are you got?
I don't have a doinker.
Happy New Year, everybody.
And we hope you have a blessed year.